Hi, this is Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings here on the Voice of America. Today, we are joined by some rock and roll superstars who've been around for 29 years now, and they have their first new album out in about 4 years. It's called Threads. We are excited to have with us on the Voice of America the members of a band that I'm sure you know, and I'm sure the music you've heard before. We'd like to welcome the Verve Pipe to the Voice of America, Brian Vander Ark, and he's surrounded by several members of the band, some new members of the band. We'd like to welcome the guys and gal to the Voice of America. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
Thank you.
Can you introduce us to the members of the Verve Pipe today?
This is Channing Lee.
Hello.
And this is Lou Musa.
Hello. All right. Now, Channing and you have collaborated on some of the songs, and this is a first for you, Brian, I guess, in the 29 years for the Verve Pipe.
It is, yes. Channing and I collaborated on every song for lyrics and melody on this album. Yeah, so it's a very exciting approach for me.
Now, what made you decide to do something different after all these years? You've had success. Why do something different?
I mean, honestly, I was running out of things to write about. I've written and recorded over 100 songs, and it's like I didn't want it to be, it's going to become derivative if I mention the same themes. And Channing is a fantastic vocalist and songwriter in her own right. Very storytelling type of songs, and I thought that's right up my alley. We both honor the lyric, always, first. And I thought, well, I'll give her some of these ideas that I have, and then she'll come back, and hopefully it'll work. And it did. You know, I give her the skeletons of ideas, and she'd come back with a full song. It was amazing.
It worked. Definitely worked.
It worked, yeah.
So, Channing, are you a Michigander as well? Are you?
I am now.
A transplant.
Yes, exactly. I moved up here, I guess, about 7 years ago from Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love Michigan now. Mm-hmm. I've gone full Michigander.
Full Michigander, full on. I'm from Michigan myself. I'm from Oakland County, you know, Southfield in that area. But and I know the band originally formed, you know, your brother's back in the group. And you and Brad started a group called Johnny One Eye. Is that correct?
Yeah, close. Johnny with an eye. Yeah.
Johnny with an eye, something like that.
One eye is a whole different thing.
Johnny One. Yeah, right. It's another story with a punchline. But you started a band when you were, you know, growing up, I guess, in the Grand Rapids and East Lansing area. So, I mean, he's back. He decided to come back now.
Brad decided to come back, yeah. He wanted to take a bit of a break, and I think it was a break that we all wanted for a while. And then just recently, I would say in the last month, he called me up and he said, "Hey, what if I came back?" And I said, "Absolutely, brother, come on back." And it's been heaven, having him back in the band.
Heavenly. And you guys, having grown up in the home of Michigan State University in East Lansing, you did a show a couple of weeks ago, I read, that was in hostile territory at the University of Michigan.
It was.
What was that like?
Well, the great thing is that all of the Michigan State people buy the tickets to our show in the hostile area of Ann Arbor before anybody from Michigan can buy them. So nobody from Michigan can make it into our shows because Michigan State...
That's great. That's great. Well, it really is a thrill to have you on because when I grew up listening to the, you know, I hate to say grew up, but I grew up through the radio ranks in Detroit radio back, you know, in the day playing your music. I worked on CSX and I worked on some of the radio stations that was playing your music back in 96, 97. I was on the air in Detroit at that time. And your first album, Villains, and stuff like that. You know, it was a thrill for me to be playing the music then and to have you on the show now. And I've seen you on TV and in the movies and doing all the acting things. So it's great that you guys are still making music. And how is this album, the new one, Threads, different from the last album? How has the band, the Verve Pipe, evolved, you know, musically?
I think musically, we've changed a bit. The sonics have changed where this album in particular has got a little bit more of the harmonies on it than the previous albums. It's also got some orchestration on it. I mean, this was really the album where we kind of we let the music be the music, and we embraced whatever it was in any way we could without thinking about putting out another album like Villains, where the guitars all had to be distorted and that kind of thing. So really the sky's the limit sonically. You know, I look at it like there's a landscape involved. I think the albums before, when you go to a movie theater and the curtains are open this wide until the main feature, and then the curtains open up a little bit more, that's the way this album feels to me. So we've opened the curtains just a little bit more on this album. Mm-hmm.
Very exciting time. So if you wouldn't mind doing some music for us, you know, we'd love to have you do some live stuff. What's the first song you're going to do?
This is a song we wrote called No One's Gonna Break This Heart Again.
All right, the verve pipe.
Part of you is lost and never found. Love lifts you, then it lets you down. Suffering reality, feel the weight of gravity. It grabs you and it pulls you to the ground. And all the voices echo in your head. Resolutions you had left for dead. Once again, your heart it breaks. You always make the same mistakes, expecting something different in the end. No one's gonna break this heart again. No one's ever gonna get close again. There's never gonna be a reason to pretend. There's never gonna be another bitter end. Until this heart of glass is a heart of stone, buried out there somewhere in the great unknown. A solitary diamond to be left alone. And no one's gonna break this heart. Oh. Seems so intertwined. The friends we had in common left behind. The nights are getting longer, the desperation stronger. You're looking for some words, something kind. The part of you that you thought slipped away comes alive to live another day. When it's unexpected, the heart is resurrected, and here we are meeting halfway. No one's gonna break this heart again. No one's ever gonna get close again. There's never gonna be a reason to pretend. There's never gonna be another bitter end. Until this heart of glass is a heart of stone, buried out there somewhere in the great unknown. A solitary diamond to be left alone. And no one's gonna break this heart. Oh. Heart of glass is a heart of stone. Solitary diamond from the great unknown. It's brighter than the world has ever known. And no one's gonna break this heart.
I love it. You guys sound great. Really? You guys sound great. The Verve Pipe. I love it. That's off the new album Threads. And I mean, you guys are called alternative rock. I don't know what that means, because I, you know, to put that label on, you guys sound great. I mean, the music just is music and it sounds great. It's universal. Could you describe your music? I mean, it really, I mean, alternative rock, what does that mean?
It doesn't, you know, at this point, I think that, you know, when you label something, it's really for the ease of the listener to know, to put you in that area and say, okay, I know what this is. But I feel like songs are songs, and we've always looked at songs that way. When we recorded Villains, the big album for us, you know, there was an intent, we intended to make it sound current, which was alternative rock or grunge back then with all the heavy guitars and whatnot. But when you strip all that stuff away and you just play the song on an acoustic guitar or on a piano, I still think they're great songs. And I think that that's the important thing. That's what that's where the bar is for us, to just write a great song and worry about how we want to produce it and what the label is going to be for it later.
Right. You know, outside of the US, they don't use labels. If you know, the BBC and Europe, well, they don't have formats. It's a little of everything. It's just great music.
Well, when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know, at least in the 70s, top 40 radio had country on it. It had rock and roll on it, had blues on it. It had reggae on it. It was all the way across the board. It's just not the same anymore.
That's right. And you did a Villains live album, too. I mean, that was your first, I think, and only live album.
It's
about time to do another live album.
I agree with you. You know, the Villains live album, that this is connected to what we were just talking about. You know, we decided that we were going to do it in an acoustic way. So we played acoustic instruments. We did it live in front of people, and we did the album start to finish with none of the distortion of the heavy guitars and all that. We just did it the way that we... Well,
there were some electric guitars on there.
Okay, take it easy. Just take it easy.
Come on.
Well, you know, the sound's really good where you are. I don't know, maybe the you in a cabin or something, because the wood and the look there.
This is Lou's studio. He's got it together here. Yeah.
Really, really good sound. Really, really good sound. You know, that brings me back to home. You know, it reminds me of Upper Michigan. You know, it's got that feel. I mean, you may not be in Upper Michigan, but it certainly reminds me of the old days. And
just imagine Upper Michigan. That there's just imagine there's 3 foot of snow outside right now.
That's all you need, you know. That's all you need. But anyway, you guys sound great. You really, really do. And so I also, you know, you ventured into children's music too. And so that's got to be
memories there.
A lot of great memories. A lot of great memories.
I mean, how do you balance that? You know, I mean, writing for kids has to be, and you took some of your own stuff and you reversioned it for kids. And you also were quoted as saying, I read an interview where you'd like to do Pink Floyd's The Wall, but do it for kids.
Well, we've been working on that for about 7 years now. That's
longer than that.
That's a long haul, but it's still going to happen. And I still think it's brilliant, whether parents like it or not. No, when the kids stuff, you know, we really wanted to be able to make an album where we could, you know, talk about the shenanigans that we got into when we were kids. But also we can use whatever instrumentation we want. For example, if we were to put an oboe on a rock and roll record, it would be pretentious. People would go, oh, come on. But you put an oboe on a kid's record, then that one kid that plays oboe is going to go, oh my gosh, there's an oboe solo on this record, you know, and it's so fun. I mean, look at Sgt. Pepper's. I mean, that album is practically a kid's record. I mean, the lyrics and everything are fantastic that kids love. And that's what we tried to do. Now, the kids shows were different. We got exhausted from playing the kids shows because they are not easy. Not easy. Kids shows, you got to be on for an hour straight, on.
Like at 11 a.m.
Yeah, at 11 a.m. Yeah, it's a good point, too. So, and we said enough of that. So no more kids shows.
You need lots of balloons and lots of confetti, things to keep them amused. So what, you know, I've gotten a couple emails when I mentioned on the air that you guys were joining us. People said, what is a Verve Pipe? So I have to ask you, where does that name originate?
It's a good question. Our first guitarist, his name was Brian Stout, and he was in the band for 4 months, and he just demanded that we call it the Verve Pipe for whatever reason. And then he left us, and, you know, a few months later, he left us with this terrible moniker that we have to say over and over. At least back in the day, we had to repeat it over and over because people, and they still get it wrong.
The Verve Pipe. It's an interesting name. That's an interesting name. But, you know, it's a name that people remember because it's different. It's one of those names that does resonate, does stick with you forever and ever and ever. And you guys have had, pardon?
I think of it as Verve and Pipe is like vigorous stability somehow.
I like it. It works. It works. And you have toured the world. I know you played some of the most recognizable music festivals on the planet. Played Lollapalooza. Recently Austin City Limits was just, the festival took place just recently. People have been talking about it a lot. You guys headlined that as well. And you've played some of the big music festivals. Do you like playing the 50,000 people crowd type venue, or do you prefer the smaller intimate venues, or do you like them both?
Honestly, I like the variety personally. I like the variety of being able to put on a different show for a different crowd. When you get when you get a crowd that's over 2,000 or 3,000 people or bigger, they kind of suck the energy out of you. When you get a crowd that's under 1,000, they feed you this energy and it's great. And that's what I miss when we play the bigger places. However, it is nice to get on a big stage every once in a while. And even though Lou might be, 100 yards away over there, we still enjoy playing.
I prefer that.
How about playing 50,000 8-year-olds? How about that?
No, I can't take more than 100 8-year-olds.
We're talking with Verve Pipe. Brian Vander Ark is with us here on the show, and this is a group that has put out many, many hits, Photograph, and the list goes on and on and on, multi-platinum superstars. And so you have been a part of the business through the evolution of time, through the changes. You've seen when the albums were the way to go, and today it's now streaming is the way to go, right, and selling singles is the way to go, and the business has changed. Do you like the way the business is today compared to when you did get to record in the garage, or
there are ups and downs to it all. The downside to the streaming is that, the freshman gets played 4 million times and we get a check for $200,
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's awful. It's awful. But the upside is that we can put out as much music as we want. We don't have to wait on a record label. There's, the promotion is ongoing. For instance, we release a single and then 2 weeks ago, and then we release another single now, and then release another single in a couple more weeks. And now we have this connectivity all the time with our fans, where before you put an album out, you'd have 3 singles, and then you would disappear for 2 years and tour. That's just not the case anymore. And the fact that Channing and I and Lou as well, we like to write so much and we like to get the material out there, it's a very freeing atmosphere. So that's a good thing.
Well, would you guys do another song for us?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. This also on Threads?
This is on Threads as well. This is going to be the new single in 2 weeks, like I just said.
Oh, great, great. We've got an exclusive, the new single.
Actually, this is the first time I think we played it live. So let's.
Excellent. I'm excited. Thank you.
This is called, what are we doing? Love Will Find You Again. Channing, do you want to describe the song really quick to him?
I mean, yeah, it's
just sound really quick. What do you think?
Really quick. It's about basically letting go of all of your past and you will open yourself up to love again. And it should also be in every Drew Barrymore movie.
Ever. Adam Sandler's got to be in it too.
A stone at the foot of a mountain. I got no love after the fall. Brought me to my knees with all the used to be's. And used to be's mean nothing at all. Was lost like a breath in the wind. All that love come and gone. All the hell I raised in my younger days. All that dark that before the dawn. It's all the same. Whatever happened to what's his name? Whatever happened to him? You free your mind when you can leave it all behind. Love will find you again. Back like a bird in the spring.
Back like a bird, song of her little wing.
A little song of her little wing.
How could it be right there in front of me?
I was on my own, loved to be alone. Till I heard that little bird singing to me,
singing a melody.
It's all the same. Whatever happened to what's his name? Whatever happened to him? Free your mind when you can leave it all behind. Love will find you again.
Great, the Merv Pipe here on The Voice of America, and it is from Threads. Why did you choose to call the album Threads? Is there a song called Threads?
No, that was actually Channing's idea. It comes from...
It's from the first song on the album called Forever Reaching. It was based off of this Japanese legend where we're all connected by these crimson threads, and we're connected to someone else who's going to play a major part in your life. So in a way, everyone is connected by these threads. So
and we felt like every song was connected in that way, yeah, too.
Mm. Channing, was it intimidating to work with Brian? First time in 29 years to write with him for the very first time on a project? I mean, here's somebody who's been set in his ways, and then to collaborate with somebody.
That is true. I've known Brian for a long time, and I feel like when we did first write together, it was very easy.
Very easy.
It just was very natural and easy. And I don't think there was a lot of pressure. There's mutual respect. And I think we're always putting the song first. And there's other intimidating things about being in the band, but I think that was a natural thing.
Yeah.
And that, it must be exciting for you guys to finally put COVID in the rearview mirror. I mean, that everybody's able to start planning touring again as a band. It's been miserable for the last couple of years.
I got bored real quick.
Yes. I mean, we all got our vaccines. We all, are moving forward, and the numbers are heading in the right direction finally. And so it's got to be good for you and exciting for you. And I don't know how COVID's impacted your lives and affected you guys, but thankfully we can move forward.
I can tell you this, that if it weren't for COVID for us, we wouldn't have spent this time creating the album, which is what we did. So we tried to, I guess I figured that the universe was telling us it's time to create. When you get 40 shows canceled and you're at home, you're like, well, what do we do now? Well, it's like, oh, right, we're musicians and songwriters. Let's make an album. And so we did. We made this album.
Right. And it does, unfortunately, affect a lot of people's incomes. You know, I mean, the tour, the people who support you, the trucks that got to move you from city to city, and the people who set up the stage and the lighting crew and the sound crews and the people who have no other source of income.
Those are the hardest hit. Those people are the hardest hit for sure. And they can't really stay home and create like we can create. You know, we're creating content, and my heart goes out to those people especially.
Yeah, well, it's great that everybody's back to work or getting back to work. And are you guys going internationally? Is this tour coming up going to include some out of the U.S. visits?
We're 100% international. We are going to be for sure.
Where are you going? Let the worldwide audience tune in now.
I can pull anything out of the air right now because we don't have anything booked yet. But
nothing booked. All right. Well, if people are tuned in, since the album is inspired by a Japanese concept, maybe Japan might be, you know, interested right now to bring some people.
Number one is go to Japan.
Yes.
There you go. There it is. The album works there. Bring them in. Have you played Japan before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Yeah, years ago. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so many years ago, but so fun. Oh, they're so hungry for music over there. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Shinjuku is a great, you know, club area and whatnot. And so they're very polite. Do you have favorite places you like to play internationally? Because it's great when you can sing in a country that doesn't speak English, but they know all the words to your songs.
Oh, it's so fun. You know, the time that I spent in Germany, I was in the army, and I was in Germany when I was in the army, and then I got to go back there as a rock star. There was nothing like it. And, you know, back then I worked on the border of Czechoslovakia, and then I got to go play in Czechoslovakia, you know, when it was free. I mean, you can't compare these experiences with anything else. I mean, that's just awesome to me.
And I read an interview that you had done where you talked about being a rock star and how in some ways you regret it. And so I wanted to ask the best part and the worst part about being famous for what it is you do.
Sure. I think that the worst part I'll say first is the expectation. You know, there's a constant expectation to be a rock star 24/7. Every song has to be a hit. Every album has to be a hit. But the good side of that is that I get, you know, I can go to the local Chili's and get a table like that.
But of course, it's your movie star fame, you know, and stuff like that. You have any other roles coming up?
These movies that you know, nobody's really seen these movies other than, you know, Rockstar.
Oh, yeah, Rockstar, people have seen that.
That's a pretty good movie, but I had three lines in that. And for three lines, I had to have a mullet for 3 months. So I'm not positive that was worth it.
All right. Well, I know we've got one more song, time for one more song.
Yes.
And this song resonates today, probably as much, if not more, than it did back in 96, 97, when it came out, reached number one and propelled you to superstardom. It's a song that deals with subject matter that maybe at that time people weren't ready to openly discuss: suicide, abortion, things that we're talking about openly today. Today in the news headlines, abortion, which has become a very hot topic in the news, and suicide, people are more openly discussing these things with, you know, Chester Bennington and all the people that, you know, unfortunately took their own, Robin Williams, all the people in the last few years that, you know, mainstream entertainment people who've taken their lives. So,
right.
I mean, and I read where if you wrote it today, it probably wouldn't get recorded.
Yeah, I mean, I would be concerned that we weren't sensitive enough, you know, the way the song is kind of insensitive about it. I think that's what made it controversial back in the day, and that helped in its popularity. But now I'm not positive that some of the phrases would fly, you know, and I feel like if I could rewrite it for today, I would rewrite it for today. But you know what? The way the song is written brings so many great memories to people, you know, of that time. And that's what's important to me. It's become nostalgia, and I love that. I love that about it. So there won't be any changing.
Yeah, and the song resonates today, as I said, as much, if not more, than it did in 96, 97. If you re-released it today, I think it would back to number one again. So, you know, if you would indulge me and sing The Freshman, I would love to hear that song again. This is a song that was a big part of my life, a big part of my career. I remember playing it when it first came out, The Verve Pipe and The Freshman.
Thank you, Lou.
When I was young, I knew everything. Gee, a punk who really ever took advice. Now I'm guilt-stricken, sobbing with my head on the floor. Stop a baby's breath, a shoe full of rice, no. Can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember. It made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die. For these sins, we were merely freshmen. My best friend took a week's vacation to forget her. This girl took a week's worth of Valium and slept, and now he's guilt stricken, sobbing with his head on the floor. Thinks about her now, how we never really wept, he said. Can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. Won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember. Made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die. For these sins, we were merely freshmen. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Tried to wash our hands of all of this. Never talk of our lack in relationships. How we're guilt-stricken, sobbing with our hands on the floor. We fell through the ice when we tried not to slip. We'd say, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember. What made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen. For the life of me, I cannot remember. Made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen. We were merely freshmen. We were only freshmen.
Earth Pipe and the Freshmen. Thank you so much for doing that for us, for playing that song. That's definitely one of the all-time greats. You know, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
I certainly appreciate that too. And having Channing on that vocal and Lou on the guitar is pretty nice. So.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You guys sound great. Really, really, really. It sounds great. You know, to hear it acoustically, fantastic. Really, really, really. Boom. Brings chills up and down my back. I really enjoyed it. And so where were you when you heard that it went to number one? I mean, that's something that a singer never forgets, is that when you get that call, it's your song, your first song, that to go number one.
I happened to be in the offices of BMG, and we just found out that we knocked U2 off the number one spot, which I did not feel bad about at all. Even though I'm a big fan, but that was a nice moment too. And my mom happened to be there with me at the time. You know, we were in a meeting and having a little celebration, and it was very nice.
Wow. Outstanding. Well, before we go, because I know we're almost out of time, I wanted to give you a couple minutes just to say, you know, hi to the troops, because you yourself served. Thank you for your service to the country. Thank you for everything you've done, you know, musically, and everything that you do for people around the world, the music you give us, which gives people so much inspiration, so much hope. Thanks to all three of you and to the rest of the people in the band who aren't with us today. But, you know, if you want to say something to the troops, I know that they're tuned in and you know, they love your music.
absolutely do want to say thank you. Thank you for your service, your dedication. I don't quite know what it's like for you now. I was in at a time that it was pretty easy to be in the military. I can't imagine what it would be like for you now. And I certainly, we all certainly appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much to the Verve Pipe. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lou. And thank you to Channing. Thank you so much, Brian Vander Ark. Thank you guys so much. They are the Verve Pipe. The new album is called Threads. Please get yourself a copy. And I hope to have you guys in the studio the next time your tour stops in DC. My name is Larry London. We've been talking to the Verve Pipe. Thank you for watching. This is Border Crossings on VOA TV.